of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The life of St. Catherine of Siena is a truly supernatural life. God chose her from a very young age and prepared her to serve the Church and give her life for it. She belonged to the Third Secular Order of St. Dominic, to the group called the Mantellates of St. Dominic de Guzman, also known as St. Dominic, the founder of the Order of Preachers, also known as the Dominicans. God called St. Catherine of Siena to fulfill the mission to make the Pope, who had lived in Avignon for some 70 years, return to the city of Rome. It was his great victory. She also made peace with some cities as the Pope's envoy, especially Florence. She also cared about encouraging the Pope to undertake a great task of reforming customs at the level of the people and the clergy. For the good of the Church, she offered her life to God. Sadly, in 1378, 2 years before her death, the Western Schism emerged. After the election of Pope Urban VI, some disgruntled French cardinals elected another one, and he was the anti-pope, Clement VII. He was elected on September 20, 1378, and Christianity split in two. Some obeyed the Pope of Rome, and others the anti-pope. In her life, St. Catherine of Siena had many supernatural gifts: the wounds of Christ, the change of hearts, bilocation, supernatural knowledge, the gift of performing miracles, converting sinners, healing the sick, and expelling demons. She also learned to read in a supernatural way, and was able to dictate letters to 2, 3, and even 4 secretaries at the same time, without hesitation, and on different subjects, by a special grace of the Holy Spirit. For all this and much more, we believe that her life is worth listening to give glory to God. The plague, also known as the pestilence or bubonic plague, supposedly caused by the bites of rat fleas, spread throughout Europe in the 14th century from 1347. In 1348, the plague arrived in Siena. 3/4 of the city's inhabitants died. No bell rang. There was no one to mourn the dead, because the survivors had the same fate. The father did not attend the death of his son. The brother ran away from his brother. The wife abandoned her husband for fear of contagion, since this horrible disease could be contracted by the patient's breath alone. The corpses were buried hastily and without any solemnity, and many were dug up by dogs that devoured them in the middle of the city streets. This, together with the fact that the Pope lived in Avignon, far from Italy, caused a relaxation of customs. The 3 most common vices were impurity, avarice, and the desire for power. For this reason, St. Catherine of Siena wrote to Pope Gregory XI that in addition to returning to Rome, he would initiate a reform of customs. St. Bridget of Sweden described some vices of the clergy and the people. St. Catherine of Siena herself wrote to the Pope in Avignon, "Put your hand to suppressing the pestilence in the ministers of the Holy Church. Pluck the pestilent flowers and put aromatic plants, virtuous men who fear God. Then I beg your holiness to condescend to grant peace and receive it by the way it can be obtained, always attending to the Holy Church and your conscience." However, a group of great saints also flourished. In addition to St. Catherine of Siena, St. Bridget of Sweden and her daughter, St. Catherine of Sweden, St. Agnes of Montepulciano, Blessed John Colombini, Blessed Chiara Gambacorti, St. Bernardo Tolomei, Blessed Raymond of Capua, and a group of followers of St. Catherine of Siena. How much St. Catherine of Siena prayed and suffered for the good of the Church. She says in a letter, "When it is the third hour, I go to Mass, and you would see a dead woman walking to St. Peter, and I go back to work praying in the Holy Church. I am there until Vespers, and I would not want to leave that place, day or night, until I see the people a little affirmed and at one with their Father. This body is without any food, without a drop of water, with such sweet bodily torments as I have ever suffered, so much so that my life is here by a hair's breadth. Now I don't know what divine goodness wants to do with me. Regarding the corporal, I think that this time I should spend it as a new martyrdom for the Holy Church. As in the lives of all the saints, the devil, with the permission of God, tempted her with strong temptations, and even on occasion mistreated her. Let's listen to some examples. After being received as a sister, one night she was in her room and the devil tempted her. You too, the devil told her, could occupy a place among the adorned young women who play with their cheerful children. Why have you cut your golden hair? Why are you wearing a spiked belt and going to wear the gross dress of those sisters? At that moment, a slender and very beautiful young man was presented to her with a rich silk dress, embroidered with gold and loaded with precious stones. St. Catherine of Siena was amazed at that dazzling dress, and the young man was going to put it on her when she reacted, thinking it was a temptation, and she got on her knees, shouting, "O beloved husband, you know that I have never wanted more than you. Come to my aid," and the tempter disappeared. Suddenly, the Virgin Mary appeared to her, carrying on her arm a resplendent robe, embroidered with gold and precious stones. She told her, "I have taken this gown from the heart of my son. It was enclosed in the wound on his side, as in a golden case, and I have embroidered it with my own hands." And the Virgin Mary covered her with the celestial tunic. St. Catherine of Siena told her confessors many times that the multitude of demons that she saw in herself and the understanding of so many bad thoughts gave her the goodwill to flee from that place at times. Therefore, she was in the church more than she used to be, because there the infernal annoyances accompanied her, but more meekly. And whenever she returned to her cell, she found in it such a great crowd of demons that said dirty words to her, and in front of her they did acts of great crudeness and lust, which almost like very annoying flies bothered her. One of those demons, the most daring and malicious, spoke to St. Catherine of Siena in this way, "O miserable you, what are you going to do? Do you have to spend your whole life in this misery? Until death, we will never cease with you in this battle if you do not consent to what we want." The saint answered, "I choose pains, and not only is it not difficult for me, but very delightful to suffer these pains and greater ones for the name of my Savior." And the demons fled, and a great light appeared from above that illuminated the whole cell, and in the same light was Jesus Christ our Lord on the cross. From the cross he told St. Catherine of Siena, "My daughter Catherine, look at how many labors and torments I went through for you. Don't be so serious about suffering for me." After this, he appeared to her in another figure, and the saint said to him, "O my Lord, where were you when my heart was so tormented by so many blunders?" The Lord replied, "I was in your heart. And how can I believe that you were in my heart if it was so full of crude and dirty thoughts?" The Lord replied, "Tell me, daughter, did thoughts and temptations such as those cause joy or sadness in your heart?" She said, "Certainly, my Lord, they caused nothing but great sadness and pain." Jesus Christ said to her, "Tell me, who made you sad and not take delight in them, but me, who was hidden in your heart? My presence in your heart caused you sadness and displeasure." Another case. There was a religious in Siena who admired St. Catherine of Siena, and little by little, He let himself be carried away by a dishonest love, deceived by the devil. One day, he was desperate because of his jealousy and wanted to kill her in the church, but someone noticed him and stopped him from hurting her. Soon after, this religious left the order and the habit and went to his house, to a castle far from Siena. There he lived in desperation. She, for her part, prayed a lot for him. Some demons appeared to her and yelled at her, saying, "You want to take away that soul that is ours," and grabbed her by her throat and beat her. Finally, the man, desperate, hanged himself. Saint Catherine of Siena received blows from the devil. One day, the donkey that was carrying her stumbled and fell into the mud, in such a way that the animal's horseshoes hit her on the side, where she always felt pain, but she offered everything to Jesus, for his love and for the good of the church. Sometimes it happened that the demon threw the saint into the fire. Her companions rushed to get her out of it, but she, with sweet laughter and a cheerful face, came out of the fire without any injury to her body or her clothes and told them, "Don't be afraid, that is the devil." Another time, in times of great cold, Saint Catherine of Siena was in her cell, sick. She had a clay brazier full of embers. The enemy took the brazier and broke it over her head and poured the coals on her and on her bed. But neither her clothes nor anything was burned, nor was her head harmed, and the saint started to laugh. Saint Catherine of Siena wrote to a prostitute, "Think that you have forgotten your Creator. Being separated and away from Christ by mortal sin, you have become barren and dry wood without any fruit. In this life, you begin to enjoy the first fruits of hell. Do you not think, daughter, how much this slavery is, and how wretched and miserable you are? Get out of the dangerous slavery and darkness at which you have arrived. Do you not see that you are loved with monetary love, that it causes you death? Get up from so much misery and corruption. I tell you, most sweet daughter, that if you vomit the corruption of sin through holy confession, the sweet goodness of God has been assured. I promise you that I will never again remember that you have offended me. Go to sweet Mary, our mother, the Virgin Mary, who is the mother of pity and mercy. If you told me you had nothing to live on, I would answer that God will help you. You do not want to wait for the divine judgment, which will fall on you if you do not do it. Do not want to be a member of the devil any longer, who uses you as a snare to trap people. It's not just the evil you do to yourself. Think of how many for whom you are the cause of going to hell." And God gave Saint Catherine of Siena the power to expel demons. There was an 8-year-old girl who was possessed by a demon, and they took her to the saint. At first, she did not want to receive her, but after a few days, Father Thomas, her confessor, ordered her by her obedience to receive the girl and keep her in her oratory all night. Saint Catherine of Siena made her kneel down and prayed for the girl. All night she spent battling the demon, and before dawn, the demon came out and the girl was left without any bodily injury. Seeing this, her sister told Father Thomas. The parents and relatives of the girl came to the house, and finding the girl wonderfully well, they thanked Almighty God and the Blessed Virgin Mary with many tears. A few days later, the demon entered the girl again. Saint Catherine of Siena found out about it by revelation from God and went to visit her. She again had to pray for the girl until she was totally delivered from the devil, and the girl entered a monastery and served God for many years. While Saint Catherine of Siena was with a lady, widow of John, in a village called Rocha, a woman from that place was possessed by the devil They took her to the saint, who was busy making peace between two great enemies. The saint asked them to wait for her. The demon could not be calm, and when St. Catherine of Siena arrived, it began to shout, "That damned one is coming. Why are you stopping me here?" The saint said to the devil, "Get up, petty one, and get out of here and out of this creature of Jesus Christ. From now on, don't you dare afflict her or torment her." The demon left her body, but it manifested itself in her throat with movements and swellings. The saint put her hand on the woman's throat, made the sign of the cross there, and the demon came out of her, leaving the woman healthy in the presence of everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.